to find God's will for our life. In the last century, not so much today, men would retire at 65 and many would die within a year or two. And one of the reasons, probably there's a number of reasons, but one of the reasons was because they'd lost purpose. They'd been so invested in business. Now, I've got to be careful how I say this. I think times are a little different. I find people tend to not want to work 5 days a week. They want to work, say, 3 days and have a lifestyle. But it wasn't so, you know, 50, 60 years ago. Men worked long hours. I suppose women did too, but men worked long hours. And Saturday, it used to be 44-hour week, and so you'd work 5 days a week and then Saturday morning as well. So people worked hard. So men had the purpose to work, and they went to work, and that was who they identified themselves. When they left their jobs, they'd lost their identity, they'd lost their purpose, and they sort of gave up and they died. Which is sad, and I pray that would not be you, because you will find fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Let's talk about the four kingdoms this morning. The first one is the kingdom of darkness. You understand that there is a kingdom of darkness, that it's where Satan rules. Well, I suppose God rules over everything, but Satan rules the kingdom of darkness. He has the greatest influence there. You notice that people often don't believe in Satan. Many Christians don't believe in Satan, but he is a very real being. The Bible reveals that. Jesus says he was a thief. He steals, he kills, he destroys. He is absolutely evil. He sought to take God's place. He was the archangel, the anointed cherub that brought worship unto God. But then he decided, I want that. And so he rebelled against God, and he must have had some very powerful influence, because it took a third of the angels with him in that rebellion. And then they were cast out of heaven. They had to be. They couldn't live in God's heaven. And we just talk about heavens for a moment. There's a starry heaven. That's the first heaven. Second heaven is where Satan is. It's a spiritual place. And the third heaven is God's heaven. So Satan is not in God's heaven. I assure you of that, nor his demons, nor his fallen angels. And when we consider the kingdoms, I'm going to talk about four kingdoms, they overlap. And so you can move between kingdoms, and I want to help you understand why you need to be careful doing that. So Satan is a real being, and this is where you lived until you were born again. So every child born, in a sense, is born into the kingdom of darkness. Now, I don't want to get sidetracked into what's the age of understanding where children receive Jesus as their saviour. I do believe there is a period of grace on the lives of children. And so when we talk about young children, that I believe that the hand of God is on them, that they and I also believe when the family is born again, there's a covering over that child as well. But we won't deliberate on that this morning. But I'm just saying we are born into the kingdom of darkness. That's our root until we make that engagement with Christ and become born again. So thank God we're out of that. Once you receive Jesus, you leave the kingdom of darkness behind. It no longer has a hold on you. That's why the Bible says that we're not bound by our sin, because we've been released from it. We talk about water baptism. The power of water baptism is the transfer from that factor of what can affect us and sin that can hold us into life. So it's a very powerful thing when we're water baptized. So that's the first kingdom. That's the one you don't want to live in, because if you live in the kingdom of darkness, you will end up separated from God for eternity. The second kingdom is the kingdom of the world. This is what we live amongst. The Bible says that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. It's worldly thinking. It's worldly pressure. You might say, well, everybody's doing it, so why can't I? It's okay to cheat the tax man because it's a game and he's wasting whatever money he gets. The government's wasting it. It's the pressure of social media, TV, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook have a huge influence and try to conform people to that influence. There's an attitude in our community. There was a time, Please understand me when I say this, but when a girl got pregnant out of marriage, that was a real no-no. And that's only 50, 60 years ago that was the case. I know that sounds a long time back, but really that's not a long time back in the history of humanity. And so that was frowned on, and many girls gave up their babies rather than try to raise them as single mothers. But along came the socialists and said, oh, well, we need to provide for them, we'll give them a pension. And so there are single mothers who keep having babies because they keep increasing their pensions. And nobody thinks twice about it. And the same thing about cohabitation, where two people live together. Well, we love each other, so we're going to live together. Marriage was God's idea, and it was his intent, because it's a commitment between two people saying, we now publicly state our position by our marriage. And so they changed the terminology. Before, it used to be de facto. Now it's my partner and I live together. And the partner doesn't have to be a different sex. Partner can be the same sex. Homosexuality is now called being gay. And it's good to be gay, according to many people. Can you see what I'm trying to say here? That what was frowned on within even my generation is now sort of accepted. And I don't know whether you saw during the week that the federal government was looking at the Religious Discrimination Act. And through that act, at the moment, they intend to say that Christian schools cannot reject anybody on their belief. In other words, we'd have to take in people who are homosexual, people who are living in same-sex marriage, people who are transgender. Look, we love those people. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not here to hate people. I'm here to love people. But the fact of life is, I don't want those people teaching the children in our school because of the influence, what's in their spirit, what's in their life. And so it's on hold for the moment, but that's what the socialists are trying to bring in with the religious discrimination, so that you can't discriminate against people religiously, but they're saying you can't discriminate them against them on their orientation. In other words, church schools cannot exclude people who have these alternate lifestyles. Well, you can see that that's messy. We don't want to go there as a school. That would be very awkward. When I say you can't exclude them, you have to prove why you didn't include them. In other words, you didn't employ them. If they are the best qualified, the government says, well, you should have employed them. Well, that's not how we work. We evaluate our teachers based on their spirituality, their attitude. It doesn't matter who is technically the most qualified. It's who's best for the school. That's what we look for. Okay, you with me? So our culture that we live in, which is part of the kingdom of the world, our friends, our peers, whether they're Christian or not, can have a worldly influence on us. They say, it's okay to do that. No, don't worry about it. You know, it's part of society. You should get in the flow and do these things. Well, as Christians, you can't afford to do that. You can't. Because you're messing with the kingdom of the world. And the thing is, once you start messing with the kingdom of the world, there's a pull back to the kingdom of darkness. As I said, these kingdoms overlap. So don't fall for that. It's like you've heard of the issue of the frog and the kettle. If you want to boil a frog, you don't put it in hot water. You put it in ordinary water and then slowly. We don't want to boil frogs, by the way. Just want to. And no frogs were harmed in this story. I just want to let you know that. But it's the principle of it. So there's a slow heating up of society of things that we as Christians, and the Bible clearly states, are not right. And that's what's happened within the kingdom of the world. So you have to be careful of that so you don't get caught up in that. What's the answer? Romans chapter 12, verse 2 tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. See, if you're letting the kingdom of the world influence you, you will not let the Bible transform you, the Word of God transform you, the Holy Spirit transform you. Why? Because it's in conflict. Don't live there. So what's the third kingdom? Well, that's the kingdom of self. That's the me, me, me. It's my ego. It's what I want. It's a selfish kingdom. It's a soul-led life. It's the look at me. It's the song, I did it my way. when we should do it God's way. It's the influence of social media. And look, I'm not having a shot at anybody who puts anything on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. I love seeing what's happening, you know, sometimes in people's lives. But some people, by their social media, they want to be influencers. And so whether they're brushing their teeth, there's a photo of them brushing their teeth or combing their hair or putting their shoes on, and I'm just putting on the latest, you know, Gucci this or Gucci that. Look, I'm not having a shot at it. I'm just saying you can see that it's being influenced, and it can come back to the me type of thinking. And that's not what it's about. God's called us to love people and to love ourselves. But to love ourselves doesn't mean we live selfishly. It doesn't mean we live in a little bubble where nobody else matters. And so living in the kingdom of self is about how important I am. I'm too important to stand in a queue. I have my rights. Rules are made for other people, not for me. I own the road. No policeman's going to tell me how fast I can drive. What about this? It's a pity about the poor people here and overseas. But you know, that's life. That's their misfortune. That's not my responsibility. Lie. That's a lie. See, that's the kingdom of self. You've got to come out of that. So we leave the kingdom of darkness. We have to guard against the kingdom of the world. We have to guard against the kingdom of self. And then there's the kingdom of God. This is where God intends for us to live. It's a holy, spirit-led life. And we can move between kingdoms, and that's the danger, because we can get pulled by one kingdom of self or the world, hopefully not the kingdom of darkness, but we make certain decisions to benefit us, or we can operate in a worldly way and attitude and behaviour, but of course, hopefully never in the kingdom of darkness. The prayer that Jesus gave us, he said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done." Excuse me for quoting the old James. That's how I learned it many years ago in school, and it sort of sticks in my mind. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I make that almost a daily prayer in my life because that's what I need, the kingdom of God in my life. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. I think what I draw out of that is for me to remain in the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, I got to fight. I take it by force, not against the kingdom of darkness, because Jesus has dealt with that. I can lift up the name of Jesus and see, you know, the demonic horde separate, but against my own self. That's where my fight is. My attitudes, my behaviours, my speech, how I live my life, ill-discipline, whatever it might be, a lack of thanking God, praising and worshipping God and praying. That's the fight I have to fight. That's the fight you have to fight. That's why Jesus said, you take the kingdom of heaven by force. What he means is to get in and stay in the kingdom of light, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. You've got to fight the fight of faith to stay in there and get in there and do that. So what do? We choose. I love the fact, you know, we're worshipping this morning. And I was thinking during that worship, how much God loves people. And I thought of the words of John, the divine, the apostle whom Jesus loved. He said of God, he says, God is love. Now we could talk about people and say, well, that's a loving kind of person. And they express love to people. But the essence of God is love. He is love. He's love. That's where love starts, with God, and expressed out to his people. John 3:16, for God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. And in that love, we find such a beauty in a relationship. And you might say, well, how can he be a God of love if he sends people to hell? Well, it's because they've made the choice. See, I'm talking about God has given us the ability to choose. He's given us a will. And so you got to make choices in life. Which kingdom you're going to live in? How you're going to live? Are you going to fight to live in the kingdom of light? Or are you just going to go along with the tide and with the circumstances? Will I make it? Won't I make it? So let me just give you thoughts on how do we live in the kingdom of God and cause it to advance? Because that's what God's called us to do. We're kingdom people, but we are assigned a role to help the kingdom advance. So here's some thoughts. Firstly, obey the will of God as revealed in Scripture and as the Holy Spirit leads us. You see, it's a mindset, it's a choice. I am in the kingdom of God. I am helping to build the kingdom of God as God has given me a role to do with that. We all have a role and a part to play. I'm listening to God so I can hear what his will is so that I can be involved in that. So obeying God. Second thing is make my relationship with God the most important thing in my life. Seek God. Spend time with God. Pray. Sing. Doesn't matter if you can't sing. God's got special filters that turn any voice into the most magnificent sound. So if you can't sing, don't worry. God loves your voice. Give him your life. Love him with all your heart. That's what we're about. Let the relationship with God be the most important thing. Above all things, love God. The third thing is to live as a son of God, without fear and anxiety and confusion, because the world brings that. I don't know how much you read the news or watch the news on TV. I have to admit I do that. And I'm just seeing this world is just falling apart. Bad time, big time. And you can be anxious with that. You know, the way they're pushing the so-called crime in Townsville particularly, and in Toowoomba and Brisbane, Ipswich, they're the four key areas. You know, you tend to think, well, I need to double lock the door and let the Alsatian loose outside and buy a shotgun and protect myself. It's all fear that can come into our lives. You've got to guard against that. And our confidence in God provides that. I trust God, and therefore I will not fear. I will not live in anxiety. Then, as we live as a son of God, I just want to tell you a story. I've used it before. It's about a guy who was a doctor, and he was doing well. His business was good. This is in the United States. His business was good. It was thriving. So bought himself a new car. And he was really proud of this car. And in those days, just going back a few years, there is what is called a caduceus. I think that's how you pronounce it. And you may have seen it. You don't see it now, but probably mid-last century onwards for a short time. Doctors had a sign on their car. It usually was a badge of the two snakes twisting up a pole, or a sticker within their car. And the reason they carried that was if there was an emergency and they had to park somewhere where they shouldn't park, people knew why that was happening. And people, you know, and also going into parking lots in hospitals, the doctors could get in with these badges on the car. Now, the reason I tell you that is because in this story, this doctor's bought a new car. He's got his little badge on the front of the car and he's driving home, and he's driving in an area that isn't the best place to be in town. And this young guy, about 10 years of age, tries to flag him down, says, stop, 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 because he could see that the guy was a doctor. And of course, the doctor wasn't going to stop. He thought, no, I'm not going to pull up here. And as he pulls past the kid, suddenly there's a bang on the side of his car. A dent has appeared in his car. So the doctor pulls up, gets out of the car, and he said, young man, that was a terrible thing to do. I'm going to take you to the police station. We're going to sort this out. And the little kid said, doctor, I'll come with you to the police station, but before we do that, my mum is so sick. Would you come and treat her? So the doctor said, well, okay, and grabbed his medical bag and went with the young boy, and he saved the woman's life by going there and treating. She was in a bad state. He was able to help her, treat her. Eventually she went to hospital, but he saved her life. Well, the doctor never took the boy to the police station. He also never got the dent repaired in his car, because he said, that dent is to remind me of why I became a doctor, to help people. And I nearly overlooked that when somebody asked me for help. The challenge I bring you is, what's the dent in your chassis to remind you that God's called you to love people and to share life and truth with them and bring them to hope. That's what we need to be about, that we are people who are living as sons of God and keeping our hearts in such a way. So St. Francis of Assisi is supposed to have said this. He said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. We demonstrate that we are of the kingdom of God by how we live and how we love. Some time back, I think it was last year, year before, whatever, I handed out some things called Six Ways to Love Your Neighbour. Let's put that on the board. If we've got it on the screen, you can see it. No, that's not it. No, we don't have it. All right. So I've got these little DL-sized pieces of paper, and it's got six ways to love your neighbour. One is to pray for them and with them. The other is hospitality, invite them over to your house. Third is to encourage, speak life over them. Celebrate their wins, that's number four. Number five is be generous, give them a gift. Number six, fulfill a need. In other words, serve them. And we've got a bundle of these, and I'd like you to take one. Put it in your Bible if you've got an old-fashioned Bible. If you haven't, and you keep your Bible on your phone, we'll take a photo of this and look at it. You see, we preach the gospel by our lifestyle, and it's not about how many words we can share with how much Jesus loves people. You've got to earn the right to speak to people. They've got to see something in you so that the words you share are worth hearing. All right? Number four, be the torch of hope. Jesus was the light of the world, but now he's given us that role. You're the light of the world. You're the one that he wants to carry the torch on and to bring hope into the lives of people. There should be something about your life that gives people reason to hope in a hopeless world. I read this week, I think I've got this right, but the highest rate what causes the death of most 10 to 16-year-olds in Australia is suicide. 37%, I think, of the number of people who die in that age range die from suicide. 10 to 16 years of age. That's unbelievable. That should be an exciting time of life. That should be a discovery time of life. That should be a fun time of life. But they've taken their lives and committed suicide. So let me share another story with you, which I've shared before. A church was having a bit of an outreach into their community, and they did up some little pamphlets, a bit like this, and they were intended to go door to door to hand them out and invite people to come to church. And so one particular Saturday, the son of the minister, who was about 10, said, Dad, I want to go out handing out some pamphlets, knocking door to door. He said, well, son, one, you're a little bit young, and two, it's filthy weather outside, it's rainy and it's cold. And he said, no, Dad, I feel God wants me to go. And so out he went with his little handful of pamphlets and knocking on doors and sharing with people. And he came to a house and he rang the bell and there was no answer. So he rang it again and still no answer. And he rang it a third time because he felt God wanted him to hang in there. He rang it a third time, and eventually a man came to the door and sort of gruffly said to him, well, what do you want? And he said, well, sir, I'm from the church down the road, and we're inviting people to come to church, and I just want to let you know that God loves you and there's hope. And the boy gave him the pamphlet and left. The next day happened to be a Sunday, and this man who'd answered the door came to church and he became born again, got saved. And the pastor was talking to him later and he said, tell me your story. Why did you come to church? Why did you get saved? And he said, well, he said, it was yesterday morning, the weather was filthy outside. And he said, I just felt there was no hope in life. I suffered some reverses in life, some relationship reverses, financial reverses. And I'd reached the point where there was no point in living. And so I got a rope and I put it over a beam in my house and I got a chair and I stood on the chair. I put the rope around my neck and I was ready to jump off the chair and die. And he said, just then the doorbell rang and he thought, I don't want to do this if there's somebody outside. I want to have my privacy. And he said, I'll just wait till they go away. And he said, and the doorbell rang a second time. And I'm standing there waiting. And he said, the doorbell rang a third time. He said, I took the rope off and I went to the door ready to give somebody a piece of my mind. And he said, there's a little boy there handing out pamphlets. And he told me there was a God of love. And he said, the little boy said, and there's hope. And he said, something twigged in my heart when he said that. A spark of hope came into my being. And he said, so I decided to come to church today. And you shared the message of how Jesus died for me and love. And he said, and that's what I responded to. He said, because of that little boy, I didn't commit suicide. You see, simple things can make great differences if we'll listen to God. I believe that little boy heard God and he kept ringing the bell until the man answered the door. I know it's a dramatic story, but great things have happened in the lives of people out of simple expressions. The fifth thing is, be a builder. Psalm 127 verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labour in vain who build it. I read that some months ago. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. The thing you've got to be careful of in that scripture is you think, well, the Lord has to build the house. The labourers don't have to do anything. But that's not true. We are part of the kingdom of God. It's a process of extension. It's going on. The Lord, yes, is bringing the wisdom and the direction, and Jesus is the head of the body and the Holy Spirit is the Lord of the harvest working with us and in us. And so we need that. We need that direction. But we have a job to do. We are the labourers. This building you're sitting in, these are concrete walls that were formed on the ground, then stood up, and then we cut the doorways. We had to have an architect to design this building because it was heavily government funded. They required an architect to direct it and bring it together, and so that's fine. And the architect then had to employ an engineer to look at how everything was going together to make sure it's safe. It's been up now 12 years, so I'm assuming it's safe. Doesn't seem to be any cracks, which is great to see. Then we had to, the architect employed a builder to run the operation. The builder had to employ, carpenters. They built the stage and did many other things around, hung the doors. We needed electricians to put electrical power points in up here to run the lighting and the stage lighting and to run everything else. We got to run in here with power. We had to employ plumbers to set up because we needed to be able to make sure everything drained away, that the building wasn't swamped by water. We had to employ, other people as well to make it happen, people to put the roof on, carpet layers. It was all part of the process. The same thing in the kingdom of God. God's the architect. He appoints people to do various things. And we function with that. Once again, listening to God's will, hearing God's will, and doing God's will. In Matthew 16, 18, the scripture says, now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. On this rock, the rock was not Peter. The rock was the revelation of who Jesus was, because Jesus had asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, and upon this rock I will build my church. And we have to live in that revelation of who Jesus is. We have to know who he is, why he is, what he's done for us, what he expects of us, if we're going to live in the kingdom of God. And my encouragement to you, don't live in the kingdom of self or the world or things like that. Don't let them have a pull on you. Determine to come out of it. Come out of the mud. Get into the place where God wants you in his kingdom so that you can serve him in that role. We have to keep alive in our hearts the revelation so we're motivated to live like builders and share the revelation with others because they desperately need it. We find the truth to the statement, what was I born for? I was born for salvation, and I was born to live for God the Father through Christ the Son. and to serve him all my life. And so that's my encouragement to you this morning. Live in the kingdom of God by decision, by intention, and by action. And so I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning because I want to pray for you. Let's sing that song, Thanking Him for the Blood. What's the name of the song?
Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood.
Oh, Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood. I got it almost right. I'm improving. Amen. Let's just sing that song because we thank Jesus for all He's done. Something works in our spirit when we do that. Let the Spirit of God touch you this morning. Then I'm going to pray for you.
Self, I want to
pray a release over you this morning so that you can live freely in the kingdom of light. I have an Australian passport because I'm a citizen of Australia. Some of you have passports from other countries because you're citizens of those countries. So I'm saying to you, you're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. But sometimes we don't live like it. And we can live in foreign countries with our Australian passport. We don't live like an Australian there. So I'm saying to you this morning, come out of those other kingdoms. Determine to live in the kingdom of light. And I want to pray for you today. If you're struggling with that, well, cry out to God while I pray this morning, that God will just set you free. Set you free. What's in your heart? What's in your mind? What you wrestle with? We all know we're going to have to wrestle through life. But it's a determination. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. We have to be violent with ourselves and say, I will not live below God's level. I will not live below God's expectation. So let's pray together this morning. If you feel that you are not free from these other kingdoms, I'm going to call upon God to loose them. You can be free. Father God, this morning, I stand with these dear saints, these people you just love so much. And God, like any parent, you hate to see us bound by things that are not the best for us. And that you set forth a kingdom, which is your kingdom. And you've intended for us to live there. And we do pray, let the kingdom of God come, let the will of God be done. And so, Father, this morning, if there be people bound in kingdoms other than your kingdom, I declare this morning, I break the yoke in Jesus' name. Let every yoke of the kingdom of darkness, of the kingdom of self, of the kingdom of the world be broken, that people might walk in freedom, because God, you set us free. And you've determined for us a way to live which is both blessed and joyous. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be free. Be free. Be free this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, I bless each person this morning. I bless their lives with a great enrichment of your presence, a great awareness of your love. And I pray that the blessing of desire would be upon them for a greater relationship with you. But Lord, as we walk forward, the Spirit of God be upon us, anoint us, that we touch the lives of people, that we bring grace into the lives of those who are not experiencing the wonderful life of Jesus Christ, who are suffering, who are bound in darkness. Dear God, help us, because we know that the greatest thing that we can do is share the love that you've given us with other people. And so, God, I thank you that this church is a church full of love. I love these people. I know you love them. They love each other. May we share that love. Bless each person today. Bless their family. Bless their opportunities. Bless their lives. In Jesus' name.